Hey, Moment Maker, let's get real in real time.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Marketing Cloudcast, a podcast by Salesforce where we hear from digital marketers, authors, thought leaders, industry experts, and really anyone who wants to get on a virtual hangout and talk marketing with us. I'm Megan Collins, now Megan Hostetler, and I have on with me my co-host, Tina Razul. She's back from her wonderful yoga retreat in Byron Bay, Australia. So, Tina, welcome back.
Thanks, Megan. It feels so great to be back. I feel refreshed spending time away from the Sydney city life and now focusing on being present and living in the moment. And it was the first time I actually hopped on a plane since March, so it was a very interesting experience. But I definitely missed you guys and I missed being on the podcast. And I can't believe we are in our last episode here in our Moment Maker series.
I know. I feel like we just blinked and the series is over. And I know, I think this summer has gone even quicker. So hopefully along the way, you guys have been inspired as we have to create these powerful marketing moments.
Absolutely, Megan. And you and I can agree that along the way, we've learned so much in this series.
Yeah, certainly have learned a lot. We learned that marketers need tools and skills to help them create these moments that we aspire to have. And just to recap, we started off covering, you know, what does this new world of marketing look like? We demystified how to manage and activate your data. We talked about real-time marketing and how to think about ROI. And last week, we learned how to build a team for the future. So Tina, what do we have today to wrap up the series?
So today, it's all about future-proofing your career. And we've had a few questions along the way, and you and I have thought about this a lot, is what makes a marketer successful? It's something that we always think about every day. And to help us answer this question, we have Thomas Barta. Now, he is a former marketer who turned into a McKinsey partner who was really, frankly, tired of seeing the high turnover rate in the marketing industry. Also on the show, we wanted to hear from local trailblazers who are leading the way in their careers. So we really wanted to get some advice from them on how to future-proof their career. So we have Rochelle Hines. She's the VP of Social Media at One United Bank. And we also have Karen Holmgren, Senior Manager of Global Marketing Operations at Pitney Bowes. Now, Megan, who do we have up first?
So up first, we have Thomas Barta. As Tina mentioned, Thomas was, you know, tired of seeing these marketers losing their jobs, and he wanted to do something about it. And that's where he decided to work on the largest research study of its kind, 1,000 surveys of senior marketers, 67,000 surveys of marketing bosses, coworkers, direct reports, and over 100 interviews with CMOs and CEOs, all trying to figure out what makes a marketer successful. And you may be wondering, what did he do with all this information? Well, he wrote a book. It's called The 12 Powers of a Marketing Leader. And of course, I think a lot of us want to be marketing leaders, so it sounded pretty relevant. So my first question was, you know, through all of this research, how can a marketer stand out and really future-proof their career? So let's cut to the interview. Here is Thomas Barta.
What's the purpose of marketing? The purpose of marketing is to find customers so the company grows. And if you're good at doing this, everybody will want your support. Everybody will go and say, right, this is the person I need to talk to. If you are in a little marketing cubicle doing esoteric work that nobody understands, talk about, you know, positioning and branding and all these things are important, but you do this out of context, then you get fired faster than they hired you. If you want to be in a C-suite, you got to be part of the team. That means you need to figure out what matters, and then you need to work very closely with the people. And one of the things, language matters, by the way. There's a good friend of mine, and he presented to the board, he's a CMO, that the company needed to add millennials to the segmentation as the number one priority, to shift their game in programmatic. And I cite the CEO. And he basically threw everybody off by talking jargon. And that's the type of marketer that boards don't need. What you need is people who say, you know what, here's the business, we're in a crisis, we're in a growth mode, here's what marketing needs to do, and I'm changing the methods depending on what matters. And that's what the very successful marketing teams do. They don't stick to some methodology. They basically leave business.
And I think that's going to prove itself right now during this pandemic that we're all in. And you mentioned that you need to mobilize your boss and your colleagues and really as far as like adapting to this new digital, this new work from home, this new everything that's been happening over the past few years. We're growing at such a rapid pace.
Marketing was always dynamic. And when we did the research for the 12 powers of a marketing leader, which, by the way, is still the only leadership book for marketers, surprisingly, we figured that marketers are having three challenges. The first is marketing is often about the future. And when you have an idea, it's sometimes really hard to prove. When you stand next to someone from finance, they'll just be more credible than you are because, you know, you can't prove your things. Mm-hmm. So there's a trust gap. But there's also a power gap. Think about your own organization. You would like to change how the customer experience is looking like. Well, there's so many people involved, right? And they don't report to you. So you have to mobilize those. And of course, their skills and their team. So as a marketer, you always have to have skills to influence people that you cannot control. In fact, if you think about it, as a marketer, everybody can say no. Right? Your boss can say no, your colleagues, typically your team, and your clients can say no anyway. So you're in a world where you have to influence. There's no way you will ever have the power to just, you know, make the big decisions and have everybody follow. It doesn't work this way.
Do you have any like real world examples too of how a marketer would go in and influence this?
Many. So give you two. One is mobilizing bosses. And you probably know the PlayStation. You know this. The gaming station.
I sure do.
Number one gaming station. When gaming started, everybody in Sony was fundamentally against gaming, except this one guy, and his name is Ken Kutaragi. He's an engineer. And he pushed, you know, for many years. And he was creating what we call the value creation zone. He made the case to the board that this is important for the company. So it's going to make money. You know, it's technically possible, it's ethically okay. And he made the case it's important for customers. So he showed the videos and the evidence from people. So he did two things. One is showing the customer need and the company need. And he made that in many presentations. And that's what we call creating the value creation zone, is where these two things overlap. And because he made that case, showing customer and company need at the same time, he tipped over the Sony management. And that's why there is a PlayStation in the first place, which, by the way, has now saved Sony many times, right? Because it's the most important product. I give you another example how someone has mobilized, and that is colleagues. In Australia, most important business magazine is creatively called The Australian. And a little while ago, they were in this situation where they had to think, should we get a paywall or not? Right, because advertising revenue down and people going online, so you got to start charging. And chief marketing officer in charge of the paywall, Ed Smith, had this wonderful job of convincing all the colleagues that that was a good idea. Now, if you think about it, you go out there and tell journalists you want the paywall. And the moment you do, they hate you because, you know, it means that their content gets blocked behind the door. So he did something, a very powerful technique, one of many techniques that we describe in the 12 powers. He basically walked the halls. He met with people. He listened to all their concerns. Hard for marketers to do, like listen. But he did. They went back. They changed the proposal, made a decision. But rather than saying, hooray, here's the paywall, he went back to everybody, explained what was happening. Here's what we've taken on board. Here's what we've not taken on board. And this is a technique we call listen, decide, communicate. And by doing this inside the organization, he didn't make everybody happy, but he built the biggest asset you can build as a change leader, and that is respect. Because people said, okay, I was heard, didn't take everything on board, but I can trust this person. And as marketers, listen, decide, communicate, and walk the halls is a hugely important asset if you want to make change happen. And before someone says, I can't currently work because we are locked into the office, I'd say it's now even easier because it has never been so easy to reach people, you know, over email and over a video conference than it currently is. So now is the time for marketers to actually walk the hall.
Obviously, as a marketer, we need to be relevant in order to meet our needs of our customers. But how do these marketers keep up with the latest and greatest besides listening to this podcast?
I have two ideas, a short and long one. The short idea is small data. Big data is great and we all love it. And, you know, it's our daily job, nothing wrong with it. As a marketer, you have to be out there. You have to just talk to people. And if you seriously, if you talk to one or two customers every single week, you know how to be relevant. I don't think you need any other advice than that. But most marketers don't. They look at reports and talk internally. Talk to one or two customers every single week. Your relevance question is solved forever because you know exactly what's going on. The other thing is, as a marketer, I believe you have to become your own influencer. And this is an important, but and to me is something that I think is a coming challenge for more and more marketers because, you know, the internet is great. I mean, if you want to have a good idea, want to do a podcast, 100,000 people listen, you can, right? Same as a blog. But the internet, unfortunately, is also great for people who are not very thoughtful, but who are very good with the camera. And, you know, they have a lot of these influencers, quote unquote, that spread stuff that isn't perhaps always useful. And if you really think about it, some of the stuff should go straight into a bin, right? And that's why I call them binfluencers. There's a lot of that stuff, right? I mean, take this example, like it's all about the customer experience. Well, kind of, right? Yeah, lots of people every single day, you know, they put up with angry and grumpy crews at low-cost airlines to save money. So the experience matters. Well, yeah, but if the price is right, you know, it's okay. And there are many of those examples where customer experience is important, but not always. And you can't just say it's everything. Or, you know, some said it's all about getting your customers to spend more time with your brand. Well, the Dollar Shave Club, one of the biggest successes in marketing I've ever witnessed, the whole promise is you can spend less time with your brand. Because people don't want to spend time with brands. People want to spend time with things they care about. And that's typically friends, family, and other things. And yeah, sometimes it's a brand. So we can't just say these things. And what's important for every single marketer is that marketers find their own truth. For your company, for your organization, why are people really coming? Why are they buying more? Why are they buying less? And the answers to this are often not on YouTube. But there are some boring reports or, you know, some chats with the Salesforce team and some client discussions. And every marketer should have their, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 truths. And once you have your truths, you can start to influence. And that's when you become your own influencer. And that, to me, for marketers becoming their own influencers is crucial.
I like that. I had never really thought of it in that way. So thanks for sharing that. And our last and final question here, we have a segment called Getting Real in Real Time. It's catchy, right?
Yeah,
it's kinda catchy.
Definitely.
Hey, Moment Maker, let's get real in real time.
Yes, we're getting real in real time. This is a little segment where we talk with our guests about their journey to create marketing moments. And quite frankly, get a little real. Back to Thomas.
So I once was a brand manager of a very iconic product that, you know, it's a lot of technology to make, very complex product, kitchen towel. I was the brand manager of a kitchen towel brand. And I was told, grow this brand. And I did, you know, was everything in the bags of my tricks, you know, advertising, promotion, you know, pricing, you know, new packaging, bigger pallets, push out to the market, and so on. The truth is, I shouldn't have done this. Because if you think about kitchen towel, the truth is that nobody cares. And sometimes I thought kitchen towel only exists to make every other product look really interesting. And I pushed this very hard instead of stepping back, doing the analysis and telling my company, we have no way in the world to ever make a profit. And we should have sold this then and not 10 years later, which I then read in the paper for about $1, including thousands of jobs and everything. I was a marketer. I was so fixated on my job, I didn't even care about the economics, and that was a massive mistake. And so I could say my boss told me, but I don't think I can. I think I've destroyed millions of company money by not looking outside of my box.
And that kind of goes to your point that you mentioned earlier. You won't be successful if you're a marketer who just deals with your job description and that's all you do all day long. Glad that, you know, you learned from that. And now look, you wrote a book.
That's always what people write about their own traumatic experience. And those are typically the best books. So absolutely. So if you want to learn more about my failures, the 12 power of a market leader is your place to go.
So Thomas shares some really great insights behind his book, and we are so fascinated at how many people that he actually interviewed to write this book, The 12 Powers of a Marketing Leader. And he touched on some really important things like what's important for every marketer, finding the truths, and really tying that back to overall value for organizations. And he asked the question, at the end of the day, why are people actually buying a product? Why are they engaging with your organization or brand? And so it's an incredible time for marketers. There's so much opportunity to really focus on goals and think about what will actually benefit your customer, company, and your long-term career.
Yes, it was awesome to talk with Thomas. And we are moving on to our next guest, Rochelle Hines. She is the VP of Social Media at One United Bank. And what I loved about Rochelle is that she talked about the importance of having passion and the value of creating internal relationships. Really, overall, as we kept talking, I learned also about her 50 million side hustles, including hosting her own podcast, as well as being an Xbox MVP. Now, Rochelle has an interesting role because One United Bank doesn't actually have a quote-unquote marketing department. It's just weaved into the organization. Now, in my interview with Rochelle, I learned that her title may be VP of Social Media, but she wears a lot of different hats. So let's get to this interview with Rochelle Hines.
My role at One United Bank is basically to oversee all of the communication points where One United Bank can talk to customers and customers can talk to One United Bank. So I oversee everything that happens on all of our social channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, but also the conversation that happens on our website, as well as the conversations and what we're communicating through our email to our customers and non-customers.
So a lot of different jobs there, wear a lot of different hats. Did it always start out that way, or did it kind of evolve and grow to add in these different pieces of technology and, you know, digital channels into your role?
So my role always touched on all of those pieces, but really it evolved over the last 2 years to involve more of the email communication than when I first started with the organization, for sure. But it's always been a role focused on the touch points of communicating with consumers and consumers communicating with the bank.
Gotcha. And what we're talking about on the episode today is, what can marketers who are in your shoes, what are the skills that they need to eventually be a marketing leader? So with that, what are the skills that you learned early on that were kind of a key component to where you are today?
I'd say that there are three things I think are key components to where I am now, and things that every marketer should have in their back pocket as a skill set that they feel really strongly in. And that's one, design, right? Because any way that you're coming at social marketing, digital marketing, all of those things, you've got to be able to kind of speak the language of either the agency people that you're working with when you're putting together a creative brief, articulate what it is that you want brought to life, or build it yourself. And so having some understanding of design, trends, language, key verbiage to use, those are all great things to have in your back pocket. The other one that I would say is, don't be complacent with the skill set that you have. You know, I have always looked in every role that I'm in, you know, what are the needs that we have and how can I fill those needs? And whether that's amping up my skill set in the analytics side so that I can do more of the reporting, more of the analysis, more of the forecasting, which isn't my forte because I'm a designer, but I've picked those skills up over time because they're really needed in order to inform not only whether or not a campaign is successful, but being able to efficiently decide what are the KPIs that we're going to use to define whether this campaign is successful versus another one.
So my next question is, we talked about the personal piece of it, the skills that you would need, but I think another piece of it is how to stand out. So people need to notice you. People need to understand that Rochelle is an all-star and she's aspiring to be a CMO. So like, how are you building your brand as an individual contributor to kind of make it known that you want to be here and you have the skills to do that?
It took me a while to get comfortable with just owning the fact that I want to get there and not being bashful about it. I think a lot of times there's kind of a fear of if I speak too loudly about something or if I mention it too often, that either there's going to be perception that I'm not really vested in the role that I am because I have my eyes someplace else, and or that I won't be valued in the same way, or I'll be seen in some other kind of way that is negative. And so there's kind of the fear to start that conversation. I absolutely had it when I first came into my organization. I was very happy with the title that I had and the opportunity that I had to be with the organization. But there was that little voice in the back of my head going, but we want to do so much more and be so much more. How? Right. And so it really took me a while to get comfortable with myself enough to say, if I want to be so much more and I want to do so much more, I have to actually let people know that I want to do that. So I, in essence, started a campaign to grow, you know, as we started accomplishing things, and I tend to volunteer myself for things to help. And then we kind of figure it out. And it's partly because I've had my finger in so many different pies coming up that I have a lot of experience. You know, when I walked into my organization, I had been doing a podcast at the time for 8-9 years at the time that I came in. So I had a bunch of digital audio production underneath my belt so I could talk about what multimedia production should look like and how we could do that, which wasn't necessarily a social specific skill for the role, but it is something we could talk about. So as we started having conversations about doing podcast sponsorships, guess who got called into the room to be the expert mm-hmm. in the room to be able to speak with those people? You know, because I had such a deep background in web design and in building some really nice looking sites on WordPress.
You got called in.
Yep, got called in because it's experience that I had.
Yeah, obviously you have the skills and you've built your brand. But any tips on how to kind of jump in and bridge the gap between those silos, whether it's service and marketing, or I think you have a couple of different teams that you support. But anything on that side of the house?
Don't be afraid to explore those things. You know, I don't come from a service background. Like I also don't come from a banking background. You know, I make jokes all the time that I work for a bank. I'm not a banker. Don't ask me questions about banking. I can't answer them correctly for you. I barely balance my own checkbook. And I think that that sometimes trips people up because they feel like, oh, I work in this vertical, I work in this space. So automatically suspected that I must be an absolute expert at all of these things. You don't have to be. Don't necessarily pigeonhole yourself into that. You know, I pride myself on being a jack of all trades. I love knowing a little bit about a lot as opposed to a lot about a little bit. Because when you know a lot about a little bit, that really pigeonholes you into that one thing, and you can be known for that one thing. But man, if that one thing is gone, you now don't have anything. And so, yeah. You know, I think it's really important to understand when you're going into a role, whether it's entry level or anything else, understand what the business needs are across the business, not just the department you're in. I know what lending is trying to do for the entirety of the year. And while lending is not my department, I always have my mind open for, okay, but are there any other things that we can be doing on the site or in email or through our social or any other vehicle that we have that maybe we could invent to help support what lending is trying to do? I have the same mindset about retail. I have the same mindset about service. My team is becoming more and more entrenched with our service side, specifically with our call center side, because we are wanting to provide an even better level of service for our customers than what they expect and what they're getting today. And we know that that goes lockstep in. If I can't get you on social, I'm going to call you on the phone. So what's happening in the call center? What are they seeing regularly? What are they hearing regularly? What solutions are they coming up with? How can we then educate our customers about that so that that brings down the call volume? I don't have to call you because I'm hearing about it on your social, or I'm seeing it on your website, or I know how to get to it some other way than picking up the phone, because that helps the call center, that helps the business. So understanding how you can be part of the rising tide that lifts all boats is really important. And I think sometimes we get very, very focused into, okay, this is my job. This is the job description. So this is what I'm going to do. And if I do that 110% and it's great, they're going to move me up. Not necessarily. I think companies sometimes have a really, really nasty habit of not cross-training. And so therefore you get stuck because you're the person that can do that. Mm-hmm. So there's a fear now moving you out of that role because they don't have the person after you that can do it at the same level.
I like that. I appreciate your gusto and your passion. I did want to come back to how you work with different departments, I guess, like lending you'd mentioned, or service. Is there a certain tip of like, do you attend their all hands meetings, or do you like have a certain person that's your like go-to to ask what's going on in lending, or how do you keep in the know?
So it's really twofold. Part of it is on your organization, and then part of it is on you. So I was very lucky early on. We actually have weekly meetings that are called core meetings. And basically a member from every team attends those meetings and talks about just very quickly what's happening in their world, how they're tracking against what they're focused on. And we just kind of go around the table. So I get to hear every week. Right now, because of, you know, the pandemic and everything, that's really been like every other week and catch as catch can. But before that, it was every week I got to hear from every single department. So I could hear what was happening in finance and understand, you know, where their pain points were, what they were working on, lending, retail, all of us. And they got to hear what IT and social and marketing in effect were doing.
So you're putting up quotations. I just want to call that out because I think it's so true. Like marketing isn't just, you know, promotion things, you know, it covers a lot of different areas. And that's a good point.
But it's true. You know, in my organization, we don't have a marketing department. We don't have a traditional marketing department. My social team functions as our marketing department because, like I said, we oversee all of our communication points. So what typically would be underneath marketing's control, like the website, email blasts and journeys, that's under my team. What's happening as far as our marketing and promotion inside of our online banking and our mobile app, that's my team. So the same team that is coming up with our daily content for our social, managing our social community and DMs is also driving what conversation you're seeing on the website and in emails and in all the touch points that customers come in. And I do think that that does change for an organization a lot of things because, you know, I don't sit like in other organizations that I've been in where social is stuck between PR and marketing. And sometimes mom and dad get along and sometimes they don't. They don't talk to each other and we're stuck in the middle, not able to move forward because PR wants to control this thing. Marketing wants to control this thing. They can't get an agreement. We can't move forward. We don't push the organization forward. And we kind of just all look very, very, very unprofessional. Nobody can function in that for a long period of time. Nobody is successful in that for a long period of time. And ultimately, your consumers on the other side of your brand suffer because of it. So we're not structured that way. So I say they understand what marketing is doing. But for us, marketing is the combination of the social team and social department and our IT team, because we're driving all of those things, you know. And so for us, The first part of that is having those meetings just so that we're all tapped in with what we're all doing to make sure that we're all still marching in the same direction so that our silos don't start veering off and focusing on things that don't really drive to the goal that we set at the beginning of the year in our planning meeting with all of our teams and all of our leads in mind. And the second piece in that, and a personal thing, is I go out of my way to make sure that I make some kind of personal relationship with at least one person in every department. That is on a personal level. So we've had lunch, we talk on the phone, you know, we shoot giffies to each other in emails throughout the day just to make sure that we're having a good day and check in. It's always good to build a real relationship with the people outside of your team and inside of your organization. And that's a difficult one to do because it takes time and it takes effort. It also takes you listening and remembering, not just talking, to build an actual real relationship as opposed to, I know their first name and their last name.
I know they're in this department. I know this is their role. Right. This is all they do. Right. They have nothing else, right?
Right. What I would say is, but do you have their official IG handle or the one that their boss doesn't have? And are you friends with them on the one that their boss doesn't have? That's the difference between an acquaintance and building a relationship. And when you have those relationships with people that are in different departments, it also allows you to get to know them and get to know their role in a different way, because they'll talk with you about it in a very real way so that you have a deeper understanding of how it works as opposed to the top level stuff, right? The way that I explain my job and my role to you and to everybody we're talking about right now is very different than the way I explain my role to my friends and the people that I have a relationship with. And I learn more and I share more and they get more out of that conversation. So don't be afraid to build relationships with people within your organization in those other silos, because there's only so much that you can get from, you know, a meeting or minute notes. There's so much more that you can get when you know Dan from accounting and know, as they're going through an audit, what that actually means and what it looks like and why you need to take him out for pizza on Friday. You understand that.
Exactly. You need it. You need to hang out with Dan from accounting.
Gotta hang out with Dan from accounting.
No, but I just want to get a little meta here. So full circle, this is the last episode of our series, and we're talking all about creating those moments. And this is kind of that last hurrah of like, okay, now we need the skills to create this. And you just brought up a very good point of building relationships internally. If you create these internal relationships, it'll make it easier for you to create these relationships with your customers to, and then create these moments that we all strive for as marketers, to create these experiences that really resonate.
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, what any good marketer is doing is building that momentary relationship. I hit you with something that resonated with you in the right way, and we had this shared moment. If I'm doing my job right, we had this shared moment, whether it's because we agree together pro on something or anti something, or we understand that for our lives, this makes things easier, better, something that I want, I aspire to, whatever it is, in this moment, we related to each other. We had this relationship. And if I do it right, I can build that over and over again. And then I have the loyalty. So absolutely, 100% is what I said. You just said it in a much more succinct way.
Now, we're always coming back to these moments. And I think one of the most interesting things that I've learned throughout this series is just that there are so many pieces needed to create these marketing moments. And in this case, it's really back to the basics here. So back to building those internal relationships. And now just thinking for me personally, it's so much easier to get a project done or really anything when you get to know the people that you're working with, when you have a buddy in every department, even if it's just to put eyes on something or to ask a question.
That's what's so powerful and what I love most about marketing is the genuine connections that we all make with people. And while we can all have the fancy creative elements of a marketing campaign, fundamentally, that connection that you create is what differentiates you from the rest. So Megan, who is our final guest of this series?
And now we're going to wrap up the series with a fellow cat lover, Karen Holmgren. She's a senior manager of global marketing operations at Pitney Bowes, who just happened to celebrate their 100-year anniversary. Pitney Bowes enables global commerce by doing the right thing the right way all the time. They are craftsmen of commerce in terms of shipping and mailing packages globally. Karen's team deploys prospect and client communications across the B2B lifecycle using Salesforce Marketing Cloud. Karen's role has evolved over the past 6 years, but what's interesting is that she acts as the glue for the rest of her organization and attributes it to having access to data. You know, data is so important, as we talked about earlier in the series. So without further ado, here's our last but certainly not least guest of this Moment Maker series, Karen Holmgren.
Well, I've been at Pitney Bowes for 6 years, and the job role that I've had has changed over time. So it started off very operationally driven, looking at lead management, quality of leads, and making sure that there were agreements in place of how soon a sales rep would pick up the lead, what qualifies the lead, et cetera, things like that. And that has grown into creating a center of excellence around marketing cloud and email marketing in particular, along with web forms. So there's a lot of different elements in marketing operations around impacting processes, making things more automated, making sure all the data goes into the right places, people with change management, making sure everybody knows. You could do an alt text newsletter, but you don't have to. You could do other things, and getting people to change their minds about what the email looks like or how it functions is part of that as well. And then, of course, using progressive technology, keeping up with how marketing cloud changes, keeping up with how marketing is changing and how marketing cloud is changing marketing. So that's really where I spend a lot of my time learning about new things and seeing if they'd work for us in our business model. It's always different for everybody. So,
yeah, you know, a lot of marketers need to keep up with the latest trends. They need to skill up. They need to understand the business. What are kind of the skills and tips that you would give someone who's maybe trying to be a trailblazer or, you know, try to develop their skills when it comes to marketing?
It really comes up to attitude, and attitude to me is really everything. So a long time ago, someone said to me, I might have said, oh, I don't like to work on computer stuff. I just don't get it, right? But really, humans are in charge of the computers, and we tell the computers what to do. Now, you might not always tell it to do the right thing, right? But printers, for example, always know when you're scared or when you're in a rush, right? So you're telling the printer what to do. So it's important to be flexible around that stuff and give yourself a break, right? Take the time you need to learn something new. And that sometimes is hard to find, right? Marketing people might say, oh, I can't do that. I don't understand technology or around analytics. I don't understand numbers. It just is beyond me, right? Because marketing people are generally on the more creative side. It's a different part of your brain to switch to understanding something, you know, the binary versions of computers. But the use of data and storytelling is really important in today's world, and technology provides a lot of data. So by saying, no, I don't want to learn technology, or no, I don't understand numbers, you're really closing doors for yourself. So if you need more time or need explained to you 100 times, right? That's important to know about yourself. But spending time with the data and looking for trends, knowing what makes a positive trend or a negative trend, just having a number isn't enough. You have to be able to say, this is a good number, or this is a bad number, and this is why. And having that knowledge can really make or break your campaigns. You can pivot, and using agile marketing technologies and skills, right? You could change your campaign's outcome quickly. Maybe it's a different call to action on a mobile ad, or maybe it's a different subject line in an email, but it's very easy to change and iterate now. And you won't know to do that unless you're looking at that data and being able to read it and tell a story. So it's really important to know how to do that, to think about the outcomes you want to achieve and then how to spin that story and what kind of data supports those supports that story and those outcomes.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's a good point. You know, at the beginning of this series, we talked about data. We actually had two entire episodes dedicated to data and how to capture it, but also how to activate it. But to your point, you know, you need to develop these skills. It's not an overnight thing. So do you have any tips on how to schedule out that time? Like, how do you know what exactly those skills are that you need to have in order to articulate this data in the right way?
Sure. So training doesn't have to be a 12-week course for 40 hours. It doesn't have people think like, oh, I'm in school and I have to get a good grade and it's going to take a semester to master this skill. And that's a really limiting mindset. You could learn something in 5 minutes. You could learn something in 30 minutes while, you know, while you're listening to a podcast as you fold laundry or go for a walk. It could be a 20-minute trailhead course. You can gather inspiration and ideas from any source that works for you. It's a different perspective that you get. Making the time for online courses, although to be honest, I don't think I could sit through another webinar. I'm so tired of webinar out right now.
Yeah, there's webinar fatigue is real.
Absolutely. You could just ask someone in your company to explain something for you or and be patient with yourself while you're learning something new. I think it's important for people to have critical thinking skills. And the resilience, right? The ability to pivot and adapt. I think that makes people very valuable to an organization. And those are hard skills to attain, right? So you can't take a class and say, oh, I'm resilient because I took this class or I read this book. It's not really like that. It's taking what you learn and applying it to your real everyday life. And that makes the difference. It's not just checking off a box.
So you made a good point, and it actually ties back to our first episode. We had on Angelina Jaspers, who's the author of Marketing Flexology, that really talked about how flexibility is a key component as well. And another component there, you'd mentioned trailhead. You also mentioned patience, a lot of great things, but I think trailhead is a very tangible thing that anyone can do. So for our listeners who aren't familiar, could you share a little bit about what Trailhead is?
Sure. Trailhead is an online course book, so to speak. So you can search up anything you'd want to know about really anything in the world. There's Peter Drucker's business school courses. There's communication courses that are not necessarily Salesforce specific. But then there are very specific trail mixes that lead you towards a goal. Learning about mobile marketing, for example, learning how to set up a Salesforce community. So there are some very specific product specific things, but then there are also more general knowledge types of skills. One of the ones I did recently is how to cope with being stuck at home during a lockdown and pandemic. Yeah. So there is some really good advice about those. Yeah.
And in that note, since your team is more of that center of excellence, right? Do you share mixes with your team? Like, do you guys have a certain mix that you give to new hires, or how does that work?
Absolutely. We've built our own trail mix, so to speak, about Marketing Cloud. There are some pieces of Marketing Cloud we use a lot, and there are some that we don't use as much. So the trail mix starts with the most common use for us, which is email marketing, and goes through those different courses around email. And then there's journeys and so on. So the journey trail mixes are actually very in-depth, but not everyone who starts with us, either a demand gen person or an actual email developer, will be working on journeys or be interested in journeys. So we have them separated out. We do send new hires through the trail mix training first, and then we have some very specific customized, you know, Pitney Bowes only training of how we do it, right? Naming conventions and things like that. So there's a lot of training that's already prepackaged and ready to go when someone raises their hand and says, I want to use Marketing Cloud.
Awesome. That's a good way to scale and ensure that your team all has the baseline knowledge as well. Big shout out to our guests for joining us on today's episode as we wrap up this Moment Maker series.
Stay tuned for our next series on account-based marketing, also known as ABM. Now, this is something new to a lot of us, and it's been exciting to plan this series.
Yes, we're so excited, and you know, we've been planning this behind the scenes for a couple of weeks now. And we actually hear in this next series from Karen again, where she's going to talk more about a specific ABM account-based marketing campaign that drove a 20% response rate for the direct mail and created $20 million in pipeline, which of course is a Pretty incredible number there as far as ROI.
Now, if you like what you hear, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. It really helps us out to create more moments that resonate with you. Make sure that you rate and review us, and make sure that you subscribe and tune in the moment a new episode is released. And if you want to learn more, check us out at marketingcloudcast.com. This episode was edited by Think Ahead Studios and music by audible.com. And our jingle was produced by the one and only Press Maxson. Have a great day, and we'll see you all soon on our next series.